and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing this morning? Come on, good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing this morning? Come on, one more time. Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing today? Hallelujah. Well, I'm ready to praise and worship. Are you ready? I'm going to ask one more time. I'm ready to praise and worship. Are you ready? This is the greatest time to me. This is the greatest time of my day. So let's go. I'm hot. The Lord saved you. Come on, turn to about two or three people and say, thank God for saving me. Come on, y'all. Just two other people, two other people. All right, let's get back into it. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Sing, thank you, Jesus. If you know that the Lord has been good, if you know that He's been more than good, if you know that He's been perfect, come on, you lift your hands and sing this with me. Sing. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I You've been so good. You've been so good.
I thank you, Lord. I thank you.
Sing, I thank you, Lord. Come on, if you know that he's been good, you've been so good.
You've been so good.
I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. Yeah, yeah. I love you, Lord. I love you. You've been so good. You've been so good.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you. My heart is full. So thankful for who you are and what you've done in our lives, Lord God. Thank you for everything. Thank you for taking me out of the position that I put myself in. Say, you've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I want to hear you guys sing. Time, Lord, you've been so good.
You've been so good.
You've been so good.
You've been so good.
I thank you, Lord. My heart is full.
My heart is full. Yeah.
Come on, one more time.
You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you.
My heart is full. My heart is. Just give him a shout. Come on, if you're thankful, just give him, cry him out. Come on, cry out to the glory. Hallelujah.
All right, everyone repeat after me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I say it again. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Awesome. Let's go.
Yeah.
Today, give him honor. Thank him for coming. Thank him for making a way in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. We love you.
Be overcome.
just want to worship you. I just want to see your face. And I just want to love on you, Lord, yeah. I just want to please your heart. I just want to worship you. I just want to see your face. I just want to love.
I just want to love on you.
Sing, I just want to please your heart.
I just want to please your heart.
And I just want to worship you, yeah.
We come centric all over again, Christ-centric all over again. Jesus, refocus our eyes and our hearts. We make it all about you. Jesus, there's no one else that matters. You're the very rock of our life. We shake everything else loose, Jesus. It's all about you. We worship you, Jesus. someone having jaw pain, it's not TMJ. It goes up into the right side of your cheekbone. And God is healing you. You'll feel the pain dissipate and the cause of it will disappear. And you should go back to the doctor and validate that in Jesus' name. Another individual on your right hip. It's on the back side of your hip, not the front, not in the center, but in the back side of your hip. God is healing you, taking away that pain, restoring your bone in Jesus' name. Lord, we just want to let you know very clearly, there is nobody else matters more than you in our life. Jesus, everything else pales. Every other opportunity, Lord, every situation, Lord, falls in the shadow of you. Lord, we choose to make you our priority, our heart, our drive. And Lord, today we just want to sing it one more time. It's all about you. This morning, if there's anything else before you in Christ, I just pray that while we sing this song, you set life in order and make him the priority of who he is in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and show a surrender. All about you. Jesus, it's all about you. Setting like this, the anointing, the stronger it becomes, the more things will just line up in your own heart. You'll find your heart lining up. You'll find your focus changing. That's why it's important when we come to a situation like this that we're all already prepared to be in the anointing. The individual anointing, what is the anointing? The anointing is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. The individual anointing actually brings order in your personal life. So the more you find order out of in your personal life, you can actually trace it back to the lack of anointing in your life. Even with our physical bodies, when our physical bodies start being attacked by the enemy, the more you usher in the anointing, the more it brings order even in the physiology of your life. Your cells have to start obeying the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know that. Amen. Susan is a miracle. She shouldn't even be here. Multiple times over. Miracle where the anointing, she'll close herself out and she'll just focus her and Jesus. She'll have to. And man, order starts coming in to her physical body. Same happened to my wife. And how many here have been healed physically before? That's what happens in your life. The stronger the anointing. So what happens when we come corporately like this, we want to really, it's not just about you and I trying to, you know, just get our little presence to the Lord. But together, when we come together like this, the anointing will bring order into the church. The anointing will bring order into our lives as the body of Christ. Order comes when the anointing comes. So the stronger the anointing, the more order. So if you want your life to come in order more, get more of Jesus. Amen. Ask the Holy Spirit to increase that, the power of God in your life. And all of a sudden, things will just start popping in order. Boom, 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 boom. Because the stronger the anointing, the more order you have. Amen. Today, we're not going to do meet and greet. We got so much going on. We got a great service for you. You get to participate with some fun things. On your way back to your chair, though, can you at least say hi to 5 or 6 folks you don't know? Shake their hands real quick and give them a little love and tell them God is good.
What do you think you're doing, Pastor Dan?
Decorating the tree.
Why are you decorating it?
I mean, it's kind of like, I love decorating trees and I just get really involved.
That's cute.
Yeah. So, sorry.
Have fun with that.
Oh, hey. Look at my halo.
Nice.
Hey family, December 23rd, we are celebrating Christmas at 9 and 11 in Ithaca at 11 o'clock. Make sure you invite your friends and your family and let's celebrate Christmas together. Oh, and guess what? We're also going to be having Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock right here. So make sure you still invite friends and family. Let's light some candles. And something new we're doing this year is we're decorating cookies. So come early at 6 o'clock and let's have fun as a family.
We have an incredible opportunity for you to grow in your faith. It's called our Next Step Classes, and these will train you to grow each and every day. Each campus offers Next Step Classes, and if you would like to find out what's offered at your campus, go to histabernacle.com/next steps.
Hey, good morning, family. It is Sick in Service, and I am excited. We have so much on the agenda, so I'm going to do my best to go really quick. So if you are a guest in the house, and this is your first time with us, we just want to welcome you. So family, could we put our hands together for our guests? We're so thankful you came. It's so good to have you. If you are a guest and you have not yet received a guest packet, would you do me a favor and just raise your hand? We have an awesome team that's going to get one right to you in your seat. So awesome. I see hands. That's exciting. And if you're watching on live stream, welcome. We love you. Now, family, you saw on the announcement our Christmas services are coming up. I want to encourage you, when you leave today, take a handful of these cards. It's great when you're inviting someone to actually put something in their hands. So as you leave today, you can get a whole lot of those. And then last but not least, tonight is Awaken Monthly, and I am so excited. For those who don't know, Awaken is our young adults ministry, and that is the ages 18 to 30. Tonight we're doing an ugly sweater party. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have a great prize if you're the winner, if you have the ugliest sweater. You know, first service, people were confused because I said Sam was ugly, and I wasn't talking about his sweater because his chest hair was his sweater. And so if somebody can beat him tonight, come on, props to you. We're getting started at 6 p.m. Childcare is provided, and we would love to see you there. Pastor Rhonda.
Sam wasn't just ugly, it was traumatizing. I think they're going for traumatizing. The most traumatizing sweater wins the prize. All right, Pastor Spencer said I have to be short because we have an awesome celebration today. So I just want to say, in this house, we walk according to the Word of God, and we are a house of tithers because the Word of God tells us to tithe. And Malachi 3:10, it tells us to bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there will be maybe food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. So tithing precedes blessing. Tithing precedes blessing, and it precedes rebuking of the devourer. How many of you know the Word of God says that when we don't tithe, it's like putting money in our pockets with holes in it? Have you ever experienced that in your life? You feel like you're putting money in, it's just going out as fast as it goes in. When we tithe, when we proceed our life with tithe, then we walk in blessing, and Jesus rebukes the devourer for us, so there's no more holes in our pocket. Let me just read that from the scripture. And it says, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fall fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Amen. So our tithing precedes our blessing and our fruitfulness. So if you're ready in this house this morning, stand to your feet as we make our supernatural declaration. So in this house, we just repeat the word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy 28, and it says, if I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed. And real quickly, I stalled in there because I remembered that I forgot to announce our gifts for Jesus for Christmas Sunday. There are red Happy Birthday King Jesus envelopes. Take one of them with you and prepare your gift for Jesus for Christmas Sunday with your family, and then bring it back for our Christmas Sunday service. So if you're ready, go ahead and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on your giving button and give right along with us.
Praise the Lord. We're excited today. You get to participate with us. Many of you don't know. Some of you do. We have a Bible school here and became incorporated and now our degree issuing Bible school out of Florida where we have our branch. And so we have some graduates and some folks who put in a lot of educational time. And I want you to know, a lot of people, we start talking about Bible school, people think it's easy. I challenge you. It is not easy. This is hard work. And I've been honored and privileged to have Pastor Obina Igbo, Dean Obina Igbo, to literally run the Bible school. And you need to know the level of excellence that we have at our Bible school is exactly that. And I just want to say thank you so much, Pastor, and go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Oh, actually, it's afternoon. Or is it still morning? Oh, my goodness. Temperatures and this sun and lack thereof is confusing me. But anyways, we are so incredibly excited for you to join us in today's Remnant Bible College graduation. We've actually already had one this year in Houston, Texas. So this will be our Horseheads graduation. I am incredibly proud of each and every single one of these students. They've had to endure me. They've had to endure Pastor Spencer. They've had to endure our other teachers, and our classes are not easy. They're not just to graduate with a piece of paper. We have a mandate from heaven to equip, train, and to empower the next generation of pastors and ministers for the kingdom of God. And that's a mandate that we take seriously. That's a mandate that I take seriously. And I want you to know, every person that's graduating today, they have earned their degree. These are not just honorary degrees. These are all earned degrees. So I'm excited to present each of these diplomas. They're going to just take a quick picture with Pastor, but please clap and let's celebrate each and every single person. Is that okay? Thank you. All right. First, I want to present to Samuel Bennett the Associates in Ministry degree. I would like to present to Catherine J. Torres the Associates in Ministry degree. I would like to present to Brittany A. Gilbert the Bachelor's in Christian Leadership degree. I'd like to present to Aaron Joseph Stearns the Bachelor's in Christian Leadership degree. I would like to present to Greta Lynn Stearns the Bachelor's in Christian Leadership degree. And finally, but not least at all, I'd like to present to Carla R. Vischer the Bachelor's in Christian Leadership degree.
The next thing we'd like to do is a license and ordination service, where it's important that you recognize that being in the ministry is not a vocation, it's a calling. And there's a difference. And for many people, they don't recognize that. I talked to one man, he said, yeah, I went into the ministry, it pays real good. And I said, the ministry never pay that good. You know, never pay that good. It's a call of God, and it's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible is very clear. Jesus gave gifts to men. Every pastor, every minister, every one of the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher, and evangelist, all have the same three jobs: to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to bring them to unity, and to bring them to maturity. And when we license an individual, that means without question they have been recognized by God as they're called into the ministry. Then when a person is licensed, it's called approving. And for 2 years, they're actually being watched. No stress. Just watched whether or not that calling is going to be proven out. Because some people start, but they never finish. It's not just how you start, it's how you finish. And so after 2 years of proving, then we will ordain them in ministry. And so today we'd like to do both. And we would like to start off, if I could have my wife come up with me. Very good. Pastor, over there we go. We had a young man come to his tabernacle, and without question called of God on his life. And since we've watched him, and he's already been a pastor prior, but as he came into the ministry and he started working in the ministry, you could see automatically his leadership skill sets and the call of God on his life. And today we'd like to recognize his license. If I could have Kevin Jackson come. You gonna come with?
All right, is that?
Yes, it is white.
That's awesome. So his name will not be Larry any longer. His name is now Pastor Kevin. Now, a lot of folks, they say, well, what's all this, like, pastor stuff? Why do we got to do pastor? Actually, you're prophesying not only to yourself, but also to them. What do you mean prophesying? You're declaring, you're recognizing the call of God on their life and where their call of God fits in your life. So in this house, we don't license people or ordain people whimsically. It is definitely a call of God on their life, and today we're honored and blessed to be able to have you and to be a pastor on staff, Pastor Kevin, and we're just so honored to have you with us. Thank you. The next young man is Aaron Stearns. Amen. Aaron and Greta came to us. Aaron has a call of God on his life that's rare, and that is ministering to children. It's very difficult finding somebody with a call of God to minister to children. In fact, there used to be many years ago, you would find what they would call kids' crusades and kids' pastors, but now they're very rare. And we prayed and sought the Lord, and we thank God that Pastor Aaron and Greta are now with us. He is now the full-time pastor over our children, all of our children's ministries here and in Ithaca. And when we start our new campus next year in Mansfield, he'll be over all of the different ministries and that deal with children. Anything that deal with children, he is ultimately responsible for and on the chopping block. Responsible for. We're so blessed to have him. We'll be praying with all of them in a few moments. Thank you. The next is a little bit more personal. It's Jade Spencer. This is a little bit different than a license. This is ordination. She was licensed. She earned her degree in Africa, South Africa, where she's from, and at what's the name of the school?
The River Bible,
the River Bible Institute, and has been teaching here, actually, and the students just adore her classes. She's very difficult, very stretching, but she's a very good teacher, and also a writer. Some of you don't know that, but she helps write books. She fixes books that have been written. Those are usually mine, and so we're recognizing her ordination today, Pastor Jade Spencer. Thank you. There's one more ordination, and he cannot be here because he's pastoring, and that is Pastor Chad Michael Spencer. Right now, he is in Ithaca. Some of you do know, some of you don't know. He is our pastor at our campus in Ithaca. We took over that campus and actually launched the campus in August. And we run about 100 folks right now in the Ithaca campus. That is just absolutely phenomenal growth. And we're very blessed. So he and Pastor Jade are both usually in Ithaca. And they have a huge responsibility here. They're not only over the church in Ithaca, but they're also over all the Awaken ministries and have been working also with all outreach ministries of His Tabernacle Family Church. So they have a lot on their plate, and we're going to give this to you to give to your husbands. Amen. And now, if you'll please stand with us, we'd like to lay hands on, pray over, and anoint. Yep, he's here already. Please come. Your bride as well, please. This is Pastor Aaron's dad, who's also a pastor in Pine City. Very good. Amen. I want you to recognize that this is not something that's new. Exodus chapter 28, verse 41. And you shall put them on Aaron your brother and his sons with him, and you shall anoint them and ordain them, consecrate them, which means set them apart, that they may serve me as priests. In the New Testament, it happened as well in Acts chapter 6. And they brought before the apostles. They were talking about Paul and Barnabas. And after praying, they laid hands on them and then sent them out to do the work of the ministry. Acts chapter 14. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having fasted with prayer, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to anoint them. And we're going to lay hands on them and minister to them. If I could have all the pastors, if you'll come, gather around each one. We believe in team ministry. You're not on this on your own. What you'll find if you're in the ministry for a long period of time is that it's not just who your call is in you, but your spouse. We've watched many spouses, and that's not always the wife, destroy the ministry of their partner. And so today, we don't recognize just one person. We recognize both. Because actually, if they don't work as a team, there's no way the ministry is going to happen. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this couple in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now in Jesus' name, we lay hands on them. We set them apart generationally. Whew, there's the anointing. And God, we just release that fresh anointing that, Lord, they may do their call. Lord, I thank you that Aaron and Greta will be the Pied Piper in the spirit. Lord, for all the children and children's ministries, I thank you, God, you're going to give them opportunity in the school realms. I thank you, God, you're going to give them opportunity, God, down into the cities and down through each street, through every town, every region. I declare in the name of Jesus, they shall teach others how also to minister to strategic planning and how to reach this generation in Jesus' name. We declare, God, in this house that wing will be so full of children that, God, they will lead their families. They will lead their schools. They will lead, Lord, their moms and dads. That, God, they will know how to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. Lord, before they even turn 12 years old, they'll know how to move in the spirit. Whew. We set it in the name of Jesus. We install them in the name of Jesus and declare blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Father. Oh, there's the anointing. We thank you for the anointing, Father. Lord, it is amazing, Jesus, how you set our lives up. Father, we thank you for blessing. Lord, we speak right now over this couple in Jesus' name as you've set them apart for the work of the ministry to equip, bring to unity, bring to maturity. We declare in the name of Jesus that, Lord, favor will go with them in their home. Favor will go with them, Father, during this job. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are raising him up to raise up generationally, Lord, young men and young women who will be able to, Lord, allow the sound, allow the media, allow the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to come through. Lord, it's not, Lord, just the ability to bring sound and lights. It's the anointing, oh God, that sets the captives free. So I thank you, Lord, for creative ideas, opportunities, Lord, in Jesus' name, as they start to minister to that whole realm and department. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you. All the way from South Africa to Ithaca, New York, the plot, the plan, the purposes, the pursuit of heaven. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, before she even knew anything about this region, Lord, you already planned her and Chad, Lord, to be married, Lord, to be a team, and to take back what the devil has stolen. Lord, we seal right now this ordination in her life and upon Pastor Chad Spencer. We declare, God, Lord, it has nothing to do with, Lord, nothing to do with their family. It has to do with how you separated them to yourself. So in the name of Jesus, wow, generation. Even as her grandfather, uncle, father, now her and now her brother. Let that anointing weigh heavy. That, Lord, many will be won for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Could I have the Bible school students come back on up, please, real quickly? I apologize. I meant to pray with you real quickly. Could I have all the Bible school students? Move. Got to move quickly. For me, this is very important because what this does as the pastor, these are the next generation of pastors and ministers. I remember one time I used to send our students to another school, and I remember one time we were in the middle of an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, if you remember that, Rhonda, up in Newfield. And I remember our Bible school students came back and asked me this question: is this a move of God? And I said, I can never send another student to that school. And the reason for that is this. If this generation of pastors and ministers, those in Bible school, do not know how to move in the Holy Spirit, how are they going to train the next generation? So for us, it's not just education. It's how they understand the anointing, the power, the presence of God, so that they can take those who God is going to set in order. This young man right here is going to be over our what do we call that now? Hold on. That's right. I sometimes forget the names. It's called the Ministry Center. What we're doing is we're setting up ministry centers in towns. This young man will be over our Ministry Center in Waverly and Sayre. We'll be teaching rock solid faith. He'll be teaching these principles and hospital calls and doing all the follow through and doing discipleship. He's got a big job in front of him. And we're going to have ministry centers set up in many towns and villages around our area. And he'll be doing that one. And so all of these this young lady right here works in our office. This young lady's traveling the world, literally, not figuratively, traveling the world doing protective services, literally. That's what she does for a living. She does protective services, and she's a bodyguard. But she'll be able to lead clients to Jesus. Amen. I believe that. And this young lady, she is just a beast. Amen. She does education. She does training. She does teaching. Listen, if you ever need anything about your money, you want to go see her. She'll teach you how to work it. So I just want to pray with you real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release, Lord, and seal the education that you put within their hearts. That, Lord, they will never, ever forget. Lord, it will not be lost. And Lord, it will bring them to the next level in you, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for his purpose and his call. Lord, we declare as you're setting him, Lord, in preparation, Lord Jesus, to be that ministry center head. I thank you, God, for a heart that will be so heavy in his spirit that, Lord, he will weep over the city. He will weep over the town. He will weep over the people like you did over Jerusalem, in Jesus' name. Lord, she travels the world. Keep her safe. Lord, I thank you. We thank you for, Lord, preparing her, Lord, as a marketplace minister with education on the Word of God to be able to bring change to her circle of influence. We declare it. We seal it. We set it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, with Carla, Lord, we just thank you for all the years she has served here. Lord, what a blessing. Lord, we speak blessing over her and her family's business. Lord, as she continues to do the work with her hands and with her head, Lord, with her heart to serve people, we thank you, Jesus. A whole new vision will be seen, a whole new understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you for this couple, Lord, and how they are serving you, Lord, not only as pastors, but Lord, also as educators. We pray for, Lord, a clear understanding, Lord, of the word, so crisp, Lord, that they've never had before. That, Lord, as they're teaching, as they're training, as they're developing, Lord, this next generation of pastors, Lord, they'll teach them how not only to be educated, but also how to flow in the Spirit. Lord, how to reach the lost for Jesus. And we speak blessing over them in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Can you give them all a hand clap this morning? Amen. I'm going to preach short today, if you don't mind, for two reasons. Number one, I think I preached too heavy in the first service, and I think I lost part of my voice. I was looking for it. Where'd you go? We again want to say, no, I'm good. We're good. I don't have anything on. No, I'm just kidding. You ever wonder that? What are they wearing under those things? Clothes. I have clothes on. Amen. We want to welcome all of our guests one more time. Can I encourage you to come three times? Everybody shout three. First time you come to his tabernacle, it's like, what? Second time, it's like, okay. Third time, we've ruined you forever. You can never go back to the quiet church. Amen? How many of you know heaven's not going to be quiet? When you get to heaven, man, the place is going to shout, man. Can you imagine seeing Jesus for the very first time in person? Can you imagine what that's going to be like for you? That is just going to be absolutely phenomenal. Some of us are going to fall on our face. Some of us are going to go, yes! You can see clearly now. Amen. You're going to see him face to face for all of eternity. We've been preaching this whole year on, this is the year of... Whew, that was rough. Here we go. One more time. This is the year of... Divine connections. This last week, my wife and I took a quick little getaway to Florida. And I want to just share with you real quickly. Now, it was cold down. I know we were cold here, but it was cold there as well. It was 40 degrees in the morning. And I think that topped off at about 61 at the height. And so we're down there to ride motorcycle. And one day we went out and we're riding on Tuesday. We have a leadership training every Tuesday from noon to one. If you're ever interested, you could either come in person or get online, and it's a live streamed with great training. And Pastor Cody was doing the training for this last week. And so we wanted to watch because the kids got good stuff. And so we pulled over in a park and we're watching this live training, and we were there an hour and finally got up. It was good to sit in the sunshine. We had sunshine yesterday. Amen. We got some sunshine today. You're awful quiet this morning. I said we got sunshine today. Thank God. I needed it. And so here we were, where all of a sudden I'm getting up and going back to the motorcycle, and there's a guy in his late 60s. He had parked his Harley and was standing there just looking around, nothing big. So, you know, I'm just kind of friendly. I walked over and said, hey, man, how are you? Nice looking Harley. He goes, great, man. He says, I'm doing really good, and we're talking a little bit more. Then he started opening up. And he said to me, he said, yeah, I had had cancer in my right lung before, but now they doctors found cancer again in my left lung. And I started talking to him. I said, listen, man, I would love to pray with you if you don't mind. And he said, well, you know, sure. People don't turn down prayer. I laid hands on him and started praying in the name of Jesus, cursing cancer out of his body, commanding it to dry up and die and the life of it to get out in Jesus' name. And that's what I said, in Jesus' name. And I looked at him and I said, do you know Jesus? He goes, well, I'm Jewish. And I said, well, that's awesome. You're God's favorite people. I said, that's pretty cool. I says, I love Jewish people. He says, yeah, we don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I said, well, guess what? When you go back to your doctor on Monday and he sees and says you're cured, you now know who to talk to. Because I didn't pray in the name of God. I prayed in the name of Jesus. And he got this big smile and he said to me, I feel goosebumps all over me. I said, that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I said to me, that's that confirmation. God just set you free. So it's really cool. That was a divine connection that God set up for me for him. Every one of us are a divine connection for somebody. You and I are imperative for somebody's salvation and eternity.
We've been talking about the marks of a disciple. How many people go to church, they believe they're born again, but yet there are no marks as they're a disciple. The Bible says that we need to judge ourselves lest we be judged. Amen. It's important that we look at ourselves and are honest with ourselves on whether or not we are truly a disciple of Jesus or we're just trying to get out of hell. How many of you don't want to go to the lake of fire? Everybody with intelligence just raised their hand. Glory to God. If you don't want to go to the lake of fire, that's intelligent. Nobody wants to go to the lake of fire. But we need to understand this, that it's not just a get out of hell free card. Following Jesus is about discipleship. And the marks of a disciple are clear in the scripture. And when we go over these, and when we've been going over these the last 3 weeks, we've had the opportunity to say to ourselves, am I truly, genuinely a disciple of Jesus, or am I just trying to get a get out of hell free card? And I believe if we're honest with ourselves, turn to someone and say, honesty is the best policy, that we're not going to deceive ourselves. I don't believe that deception is a positive thing. Amen? I believe that God wants us to be true and honest with ourselves. Now, we've already been through 3 weeks. The marks of a true disciple is that Jesus Christ is not only your Savior, but your Lord. When Jesus is your Lord, you will automatically obey him. We're getting there. I want to preach short, but you're making me go long. The mark of a disciple is that when Jesus Christ is your Lord, you and I will obey him, not because of the rules and regulations, but because of. So because he's our Lord, we obey him because we love him. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what that actually says is, if you don't keep my commandments, you don't actually love me. It's really simple. And this is the issue we're having in American church, that the church in America is literally the same as the people of the world. When they did the study with George Barna, they look the same, they act the same, they talk the same, they go to the same movies, they do the same activities, they even give the same. There's only 2 or 3% difference between somebody saved and not saved. So here's the issue. That is showing that there are not many disciples because as a disciple, you're different. Can you turn to someone and say, you're different? You should be different. When we are the same, there is a problem. The Bible says that you are a peculiar person. Why are you peculiar? Because you're not of this world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. You and I are not the same. We don't do the same. We don't live the same. We don't act the same because we have something different happening in our lives. And that is, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And because he is our Lord, we will. Because we. So when we're choosing not to live a life of obedience, we're actually saying to God, I'm not really your disciple. I just don't want to go to the lake of fire, which is cool, man. I don't want to go there either. But the issue is this. You can't live your life and expect God's blessing. You can't do what you want to do and tell the Lord, I am my own Lord. I just need you as my Savior. That's like saying, hey, I want to marry you because I want sex. I don't really care about having a relationship with you. I just want sex. How many know that don't work? There's a relationship that's mandatory and necessary. And when Jesus Christ, you ask him to be your Lord and your Savior, when he becomes your Lord, he then asks you to And the way we obey him is the more we recognize how much he loves us and how much we love him, we will automatically obey, not because of mandates, not because we have to, but because we love him. This is the issue. Because the mark of a true disciple is that I love God, therefore I choose to obey God. I choose to live for God. I choose to act the way God wants me to act. I choose to say the way God wants me to speak. I choose to walk the way he wants me to walk. I do that not because God, I'm afraid he's going to send me to hell, but because I love him so much, I don't want to hurt him. And I love him so much, I want to live in relationship and obey him. This is the mindset that must get back into the believer, because all things worketh by love. Even our faith works by love. Everything works by love. So when there is not enough love, we will not obey because we have not made him our Lord. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Listen, the voice, just go with me. I'm going to keep preaching till I can't preach no more. That means it's no longer a short sermon. So as a believer, our challenge is making sure that we are genuinely true disciples. Because if we say we are, but we aren't living it, then we're in self-deception. And living in self-deception, the Bible says, is a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. We can't believe we are something that we are not. My dad used to work at a place in Massachusetts when I was a child called the Fernal School. And what this place was in the old days, if somebody was mentally handicapped, what they would do is many families would send them to the Fernal School, and they would end up going there, and they would be institutionalized. And so my dad worked at this place, and there was a man named Duck there. Now, Duck was in his 80s. He walked like a duck, talked like a duck, and believed he was a duck. No, I'm not kidding you. It was awesome because I love Duck. I would go up and visit my dad, and we'd go hang out with Duck. You know, he'd walk. You say, hey, Duck, how are you? How's your day going? He would talk in the duck voice. And he actually believed 100% that he was a duck. Here's the problem. Duck was not a duck. Amen? Amen. Duck was a human being. Even if he thought he was a duck, he was not a duck. Even though many believe they're believers, and they might not be. Because this is about discipleship, of being a disciple of Christ, and not just a get-out-of-hell-free card. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Amen. So this is the relationship that God is after in our lives. Now, I know I just got to keep going. Here we go, right? Every one of us, when we give our hearts to the Lord, we say, Jesus, come into my life. I surrender my life to you. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. In him we live and move and have our being, says the book of Acts. So God is saying to us, when we became John 3:3, you must be born again. When we accepted him as our Savior, Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The moment we've done that, the Bible says we've gone from death to life. That means that Christ has changed us. Now, because he is our Lord, we're growing in relationship with him. So God says in his word, don't do this, not because I'm trying to steal fun, but because I'm trying to protect you. How many of you know that if you don't live the way that God desires us to live, you are living an unprotected life? Therefore, the wages of sin is death. Are you out there this morning? So now you're starting to obey God, but you're realizing that the more I know him, the more I'm in relationship with him, the more I talk with him, the more I go to church, the more I read the word, the more I realize how much God loves me. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you grow in relationship with him. You see, there is a natural process that happens. The next natural process that we're going to cover today is the moment that you make him your Lord, you start to obey him, you're growing in love of the Lord, you will automatically start bearing fruit. I want you to know that today, every one of you in this room, God created you to make impact. God created you to leave a footprint. God created you to make a difference. God created you to bring increase. Now listen now. I've done funerals, many funerals over the years. I remember I did a funeral of a man. He was in his 70s. And at his funeral, like seven people. So I really don't know this guy. They asked me to do his funeral. I got as much information as I could. I'm doing the funeral. And then I said, would anybody like to share something? And a woman, his daughter, raised her hand. She walked up front. I really was happy because I figured this is going to at least personalize the funeral. So she walks up front. She says, I'm glad he's dead. It was the best thing that ever happened to our family. Let me tell you something. God never created his life to be like that. God created his life that the room would be full. God created his life so that his daughter would want to be like her father. God created his life so that the generations, her children and her children's children, would be impacted by the power of his life. But instead, he bore no fruit. And now his leaving the earth was more desirable by his family than anybody else. You see, each one of us have never been created for that life. We've been created so that God could bring production from you, so that people will want to come and participate with your life. Now, I said a few weeks ago, I'm having an issue now where people are stopping my wife everywhere and telling her how beautiful she is. And it happened again yesterday. She's walking in the mall, and where were you? She was at Zales, and a lady pulls her aside and says, you are so beautiful. And Rhonda comes out to me. She says, it's just so uncomfortable that people are saying this to me. And I said, well, you could be ugly. And she said to me, I really don't believe that it's because I'm pretty. You know, she says, I really believe it's because of the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And no matter what it is, there's something about her that people stop her that don't know her and speak to her and tell her how beautiful she is. Every believer, every one of us in this room, every person on this planet, God has created you to make a difference on this planet. He's created you to stop people. He's created you to change people. He's created you to make impact in their life. He's created you to make a difference. The very DNA of your life is to be a life of multiplication and power, not a life of just survival. John chapter 15 verse 8 says this, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple, and that brings great glory to my Father. Fruit shows that you've made him your Lord. The average church in America, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. The average church in America, less than one soul is saved an entire year. Which means that the majority of people in the body of Christ no longer are fruit producers. Now, we start looking at the gospel. We can see in the gospel talking about the parables. And we start talking about the talents. One received five, one received two, one received one. It wasn't the amount that they received. The issue with the husband was that he came back and one of them did not do anything with the gift and the talents that they had. You see, God has never called us to live a life of subtraction. He's never called us to live a life of division. God has called us to live a life of addition and multiplication. He's called us to increase, not to decrease. He's called us for production, not deduction. God has called us for acceleration, not deceleration. God has called us to make a difference, not just be people who sit around and hang out and hopefully go to heaven one day. God has called us, the very DNA of our life is to be a life that's a producer on this planet. There was a woman in my Bible college. She was one of the teachers. Her name was Sister King. She was in her late 90s before she died. But all the years that she was retired, she would get on the city bus in Providence, Rhode Island, every single morning and ride the bus all day long. There was only one reason she rode the bus. She wasn't riding the bus to go somewhere. She was riding the bus to take somebody somewhere. She said, God, send me to somebody today that I may lead them to you. Send me somebody today, God, that I can plant a seed, water a seed. God, you'll bring the increase. You see, her life up until the day she died was a life of production, a life of productivity, not just for the earth, but for the kingdom of God. For all that's done, the only thing that's going to matter ultimately is what you provided for the kingdom. The only thing you can take to heaven with you is another human. All of the success you have on this planet, listen, I've seen some extremely wealthy people overwhelmingly filled with poverty.
Yeah, amen.
They have everything the world could ever imagine, but have nothing. They have no peace. They have no joy. They have no friends. They have no fat. They have no health. They have all these things. Money cannot buy. When Steve Jobs died, I want you to know something very quickly. It does not matter how many billions of dollars he had in the bank, that cancer still killed him. Great wealth comes in the impact that you leave. And whatever we do for Christ will last, but what we do for ourselves will mean nothing in the long run. You can't take your money to heaven. You can't take your job to heaven. You can't take your car to heaven. The only thing you can take to heaven is somebody that needs Jesus. God is calling us, the body of Christ, back to why we're still on this planet. We're here to produce fruit. Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. Can I ask you a question? What has Jesus, what has being born again done for you? Shout it out loud. Peace. Change your life. Forgiveness. Happiness. Joy. Love. What? Healing. What? Giving you a family. Amen. Somebody else, come on. Redemption. Protection. What?
Freedom.
Freedom. Amen. What?
Freedom.
You just repeated somebody. Freedom twice. Eternal life. What?
Authority.
Relationships. Peace. Future.
Mercy.
Self-control. That was from a teenager. No fear. Deliverance. What? Wholeness. Faith. My goodness, come on, man. We could stand here right now and keep yelling it out. All the things that Jesus has done that has changed our life. All the things that have made impact eternally on our life. The Bible says so very clearly, as freely as you've received, freely give. You see, when we become a true disciple of Christ, when we get discipleship in order in our life, we will make him our Lord and we will start to obey him, not because we have to, but because we love him. And because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, is real, Also, the Bible makes that declaration that freely you've received, freely give, that you are going to be a person automatically that is going to start sharing the gospel with people. Yes, amen. Amen. Can you imagine if everybody in this room, led one person to Jesus Christ in 1 year? What would happen to the body of Christ? Multiplication in 1 year. It wouldn't be addition, it'd be multiplication. The very mindset of God is never deduction. Amen. He's called us all into a life of production, of fruit producers. And what I love so much about fruit is that the seed in and of itself has life of its own kind. You see, the more we are a disciple, we are going to live discipleship. The more we are a disciple, the more we're going to obey God automatically, that we are going to start leading people to Christ. The more we're going to start discipling them. For it's not just me being the disciple, but automatically I'll disciple, because the seed of heaven is automatically within me, because the life is of the seed is in itself. It's an automatic production. So God is calling us back to this process of living, that we make Christ our Lord again. That means we've got to obey him. So many of us are challenged with obedience. We want our children to obey. Come on, you've been to the mall before. You watch that child, man. You're at that store. You were at the toy store. And all of a sudden, that child looked at the parent and said, I want that. And the parent said, shh, no. Ah! Starts screaming and yelling. You walked through the aisle and went, I'd beat the child. Now, you didn't say it out loud, but you said it inside. That child needs discipline. One time I was down in Mexico. We were going through the square, and this child literally danced in circles, screaming in circles. And I saw myself in the spirit, of course, snatching that child up and laying down the love of Jesus on their hind end. It was all in the love of the Lord. We want the children to obey, but God is saying to us, listen, I want my babies to obey. I want my children to obey me. That means you and I, we are the children of God. And when we made Christ our Lord, we're not just saying I want to get out of hell free card, but God, I'm saying whatever you've asked me to do, whatever you want me to do, I'll obey you, not because I have to, but because I love you. I want to please you. I want to honor you, God. I want you to be pleased with my life. And now when you start to honor him, something automatically starts to happen. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I've never found anybody that wanted to just simply go to hell. I never found anybody that said, I want to hurt myself, that's in their right mind. You see, everybody is living a life of taking care of themselves and self-containment and making sure that they're healthy and whole. Don't we want to do that for other people? See, because the person you hate the most is the one you will not share the gospel with. Discipleship is so much fun, man. I don't know about you, but I was so exhilarated when I was done ministering to that dude down at the park. I was so excited when I got back on my bike. I was thinking about that all day long, thinking about, listen now, on Monday morning when he goes, that's tomorrow, when he goes and he goes to that doctor and the doctor says you don't have cancer, he's going to remember that I stood with him in that park, that divine connection as the fruit is being brought forth, and he's going to say, I've got to call upon the name of Jesus. Why? Because the prayer was not in Buddha. The prayer was not in Muhammad. The prayer was not in Judaism. The prayer was in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the risen Savior. I've got good news. I've got good reports that God is awesome and he wants to change your life. You see, this is the power of being and living this DNA that we have. Life is in the seed. And for each one of us, as we make him our Lord, we will automatically start to obey.
the more we grow in love with him. That is easy. But then all of a sudden, you're going to start producing. You're going to start doing the work of God. We have people that have what we call Heine ministry. Turn to someone and say, I don't believe in Heine ministry. What is Heine ministry? The Bible says Jesus made the declaration, I've come to seek and to save them which are lost. Heine ministry is, I've come to sit. God never called us to sit. He never called us to be stagnant. He's called us to be in movement. Because production always demands movement. Production is always forward. And God is calling us to start living this life of discipleship where, man, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I will automatically start seeing fruit produced in my life. Why? Because the more I love him, the more I become like him. The more I become like him, the more I start acting like him. The more I start acting like him, the more he can trust me with his power. The more he can trust me with his power, the more when I open my mouth, the power of God is released and someone's life is transformed for all of eternity. You see, God is calling us to a life of fruitfulness and production, not just sedentary, sitting down and kind of sucking our thumbs, wondering when Jesus is going to crack the eastern sky. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So today, one of the marks that is so powerful is, are you producing fruit? You know, I had a lady one time, she said to me, I'm not coming to your church any longer. And I said, why? She says, all you do is push, 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 push. I said, what do you mean? She says, all you do is you're always pushing us, Pastor. Always pushing us to do more. Always pushing us to grow more. Always pushing us to give more. Always, always. Why do you always gotta push? Duh. If you're not being pushed, then normal human reaction is nothingness. How many of you had to push your children to go to school some days? Mm-hmm. How many of you have to push yourself sometimes to come to church some days? Don't raise your hand. A life of true fruitfulness is not always ease and making everything perfect and beautiful. Sometimes it's just putting your hand to the plow and making a decision. I am not looking back. I got my eyes on the prize. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm not going to turn to the right hand or to the left. I'm going to do the will of God. And you know what? I might not always be liked. Somebody's going to make fun of me. Listen now, if they don't like you, get used to it. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. They're going to make fun of you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I liked you better when you were a whoremonger. You know, all these factors. I liked you better when you were a drunk. I liked you better when you did meth. I liked you better. Listen now, they didn't like you better. They just don't like themselves better is the real problem. They don't want to grow. They just want you to die. People have a problem when you are increasing. People have a problem with your fruitful. Did you ever notice? Very few people make fun of somebody who's going down. They only make fun of people that are going up. They very rarely mock people that are failures, but they'll mock people that are successors. Why? Because people don't want to see other people become fruitful. Which means they're against the very will of God. Because the will of God is that you and I, as his disciples, are fruitful for the kingdom of God. What are you doing with your talents? What ministries are you involved with? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Now, I mean the word doing. You're not getting saved by your doing, but show me your faith and I'll show you my works by my faith. You see, we start to grow in God the more we give in God. The more fruit we give off our tree, the more the fruit will grow on our tree. You see, the tree does not bear fruit for you.
you to eat. The tree bears fruit for others to eat, which means that you and I are doing work on behalf of heaven, which means we are a life of production. When there is no production, then the tree starts to die. How do I know that? I worked on an apple farm. When you let a tree go, what ends up happening to that tree is it starts a slow descent to disintegration. The apples will stop growing. They'll start getting all wormy. When you don't have people taking the fruit off the tree no longer becomes production that people want to eat from. And you and I have been called to be so fruitful that they might not even like you. But when they need what you got, they're coming to you. Amen. I can't tell you how many people disliked me. They disliked me bad. But when somebody got sick in their family, who did they call? They ain't called Ghostbusters. One lady, man, I remember, she used to come to Rock Solid Faith. I'm almost done. She came to Rock Solid Faith. She left the church. I said, where are you going? She says, oh, I don't believe in this healing stuff. That's just stupid. She says, I believe that people are sick because God wants them sick. God's in control of everything. I said, whoa. I said, well, you know, I just want you to know that we love you. And she says, well, I don't even want you to call me anymore. I don't want you to talk to me anymore. I don't want any correspondence from the church at all. I said, okay, no problem. About 6 months later, she came down with cancer. She called me on the phone. Pastor, will you pray for me? I said, nope. No, I'm just kidding. I told her I would. Just seeing if you're awake. Did you see her face? It was the best. Now, I'll be honest with you. I did want to say nope. But it's amazing to realize they'll hate the God you serve until they need the God you serve. But when you're a true disciple, they know where to go. When you're not a true disciple, they know where not to go because you live the same way they live. You're no different from they are. You're supposed to be different. You are marked. You are different. The Bible says you have the seal of the Holy Spirit in your life. The seal means marked. You are not the same. And until the body of Christ recognizes this, then we're still going to be a religious institution. This is not a religious institution. This is the house of the Most High God, who is our Lord and our King, and we obey our King. Can I hear an amen? Not because we have to, but because we love him. He is a good God and greatly to be praised. The Bible said every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. He said, you're an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. That means everything Jesus has, you have. And because of that, man, I can't keep this to myself. I got to tell somebody. I got good news. God is good all the time. He'll take your sins and wash them away. He'll change you from the inside out. God doesn't care where you come from. He cares where you're going. God will heal your body. He will heal your mind. He will heal your heart. God is a good God, and he can't wait to touch you and to let you know that you are important to him. You see, when you know that, you can't shut up. You can't shut up. You remember the woman, the Samaritan woman, who Jesus shared the gospel with? Remember? Do you remember what he said? He says, go tell your husband. She goes, well, yeah. He says, that's right. The man you're living with ain't your husband, and you've had five husbands. He pointed out all the sin. But man, he touched her. And she went back to Samaria, and this is what she said. You got to see this man that I met. And the Bible says for 2 days, Jesus went into Samaria and the whole city got saved. You know what's amazing? When he's that real to you, you got to tell somebody. When he really touches you, you got to tell somebody. Can I hear an amen? When he is your Lord and you're living a life of obedience, and man, you are in love with God, you got to tell somebody, and you'll produce fruit automatically. You got to be a fruit producer. Can I hear an amen? Come on, be that magnet in the Holy Ghost. People just got to find out what is up with you. Man, you're weird. You're strange. That's right. What's so different about you? I told you that story last week. Ready? I went up to a place, ordered a sandwich. And the lady said, oh, you know, I'm just me, just having fun, smiling. I've already spent my time with Jesus. And so the joy of the Lord's my strength. And so she looks at me and she goes, man, I don't know what you're wrong, but I want it. I said, Jesus. She went, oh. Whether she likes it or not, the seed was planted. Jesus is the joy. He'll give you peace and happiness. Jesus is real and not dead. Oh, I don't got a message of religion for you. I got a message of life for you. And because of that, I'm going to automatically produce fruit. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm a disciple. Tell somebody else, I'm a disciple. Jesus is my Lord. I obey him because I love him. And because I love him, I got to tell somebody. That's right. Oh, tell somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus. Come on now. You gotta play that song now. You gotta play that song. You don't remember that song, do you? Do you remember the song? Play it. Louder. Sorry. I'm gonna try to sing it. All right. Where's Isaiah? Tales. Come on, where's Isaiah? Isaiah! All right, someone's gotta sing it for me. Tell some, sing it. Can you sing? Are you worse than I am at singing? All right, skip the song. Thank you. Tell somebody about Jesus. Yeah, sing it.
Tell somebody about Jesus.
How he set me free, gave me the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. No, keep singing. Oh, tell somebody about Jesus. How he set me free, gave me the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Come on, sing.
That's fruit. Somebody got to tell somebody this week. You got to lead at least one person to Jesus this week. Come on now. Set yourself. Say, God, I don't know who they are, but you do. They might be, come on now, at the park. Amen. They might be at your work. They might be right at your home. Can I hear an amen? You got to lead them to Jesus. Because when you tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord, it at least plants a seed for God to bring forth fruit. Father, I declare in Jesus' name, this is a soul-winning church. I declare, God, we are a fruitful church that will multiply, not just add. God, I declare in the name of Jesus that your kingdom will increase and not decrease. Lord, give us all opportunity this week to share the gospel with somebody in Jesus' name. Now listen, bow your heads real quick. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have a religion for you. I don't have a church for you to join. I want you to know this God that we're talking about today. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to slide your hand up in the air right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you ever have. Hi, baby girl. Come on, is there anybody else? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Sing it one more time.
Tell somebody about Jesus, how he set me free, gave me the
Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
We love you. So God, we're not only going to make you our Lord, but whatever you tell us to do, we will obey and not question you. God, we love you and thank you for loving us. Lord, grow our love for you. And Jesus, hear our hearts real clear. We will produce fruit for the kingdom of God. We will put our hands in the plow. We will share your gospel. We will do a ministry to bring glory to your name. And we love you. Bless you, God. Thank you for this awesome day. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted. Yeah. Have a great day. The prayer team's at the front of the altar.